For that introduction, that organism is referred to as Balanolimus longicaudatus. I will only try and pronounce it a few times because it is a mouthful. The turf industry in North Carolina is a large industry, accounting for approximately $4 billion in revenue annually. This includes North Carolina's nearly 600 golf courses, as well as sod farms, athletic fields, and home lawns, covering 2 million acres of land throughout the state. Fungi are our most problematic turf pathogen, but nematodes seem to be an increasing pressure for superintendents and growers. Chemical control is limited by product availability, and so examining the biology of our turf grass nematode species is of utmost importance. North Carolina is a difficult climate for growing turf in. It is a transition zone state, meaning we can grow both warm and cool season grasses, but neither grows nor performs optimally. Creeping bent grass cultivars are commonly used as putting green surfaces throughout the mountain and Piedmont regions of the state. There we go. That worked. And Bermuda grass cultivars are commonly used as putting green surfaces throughout the Piedmont region and the coastal regions of the state. For a more complete comparison of the two turf species, creeping bent grass is a cool season, or C3 grass. Bermuda grass is a warm season, or C4 grass. So creeping bent grass thrives during our spring and fall months, but tends to struggle during our hot, humid summer months. Contrasts to Bermuda grass, which thrives during our hot, humid summer months. Connecting this to nematode feeding damage, creeping bent grass best tolerates nematode damage during the spring and fall months, and Bermuda grass best tolerates nematode feeding damage during the summer months. One of our most concerning nematodes that we deal with is Balanolimus longicaudatus, or more commonly referred to as sting nematode. This is a migratory ectoparasitic plant pathogen. The key point to make with this nematode is that essentially detection can mean a problem. Now, why is that? Well, this nematode feeds on the root tips and in turn dramatically impairs root growth and function. This can make management difficult, particularly during stressful periods such as heat or drought stress. Sting nematode populations can reach numbers in excess of 800 to 1,000 nematodes per 500 cc of soil. And so it is evident that turf management can be very difficult with numbers this high. Sting nematode likes warm, dry soils comprised of a minimum of 90% sand. And as it turns out, putting greens are a wonderful environment, as they must be constructed with a minimum of 85% sand. This nematode is also widely distributed throughout the southeast, and its range is increasing quickly. As shown here, sting nematode is prevalent throughout the eastern and central regions of the Carolinas, as indicated by the red, yellow, and orange counties. However, not every county was sampled, as indicated by the white counties. And due to its high affinity for sand, it is likely that sting nematode is more widely distributed throughout both North and South Carolina. Sting nematode is a very large nematode, with adults reaching 3 millimeters in length. If you look at the nematode's head, one of the reasons this nematode is so damaging is that its long, thin stylet acts as a hypodermic needle, piercing into and through the roots. This is why it can cause so much dysfunction when feeding. Here we see total root impairment caused by nematode feeding damage. Putting surface is properly treated with nematicide, you protect both root growth, root density, and depth compared to an untreated area. Here it is evident of the amount of damage that is a result of nematode feeding. We can see that an entire putting green can be lost when feeding damage is bad enough, severe enough. Management is difficult due to limited control options. With the removal of Nemacure from the market in 2017, this originally left golf course superintendents with only two approved products for use on turf. Stashes of Nemacure can still be used until 2017, but it is no longer available for purchase. New nematicides such as Flupyrim and Fluinsulfone have only recently entered the market, but show great promise. However, this has forced course superintendents to investigate using investigate other methods for managing nematodes, including cultural control techniques. This includes precise fertilization and irrigation timing, depending on turf grass species and root zone architecture. Mowing height is another important factor. By increasing our mowing height from 2.6 to 3.2 millimeters, we can decrease the stress on the turf by increasing nutrient production, and in turn helping the roots to flourish during nematode feeding. Another area of investigation for superintendents is alternating mowing and rolling. Mowing is the single biggest stressor on turf, and if we can eliminate mowing but still maintain our playing surfaces through the use of rolling, we can manage this nematode far better. So the purpose of our project was that if we could better understand nematode dynamics within the soil column, then we can more precisely deploy chemical and cultural control techniques. Our objectives were to observe and record population dynamics of sting nematode in North Carolina, and to observe and record the distribution of sting nematode at various depths within the soil column. Our hypotheses were that we expected the highest populations of sting nematode to be in the summer months. It was also expected that a majority of sting nematode would be in the top 10 centimeters of the soil column within the turf grass rooting zone. The stars here are the locations that I sampled. The red stars and the blue stars are golf courses I sampled, located in the coastal plain and Piedmont regions of the state, respectively. The black star is a cornfield that I sampled that I'll explain later. Three greens were sampled per course, with six soil cores taken around the perimeter of each green. The cores were then sectioned into three sections, 0 to 10 centimeters from the surface, 10 to 20 centimeters from the surface, and 20 plus centimeters from the surface, reaching as deep as 30 centimeters if possible. Samples were then mixed and extracted using a modified sieving and sugar centrifugation technique, and nematodes were then counted using light microscopy. So first I'll start with the counts across various depths from Bermuda grass cores. Just for quick orientation, the x-axis is the month sampled from December of 2014 to October of 2016, and the y-axis is the number of nematodes counted per 500cc soil from 0 to 60 nematodes. The gray bar is the top 10 centimeters soil column, the red bar the middle 10 centimeters, and the black bar the bottom 10 centimeters of soil column. The main takeaway here is that the majority of the nematode population was localized to the top 10 centimeters of the soil column in the winter and spring months of both years. But during the summer months, the nematodes were more evenly distributed throughout the entire 30 centimeter soil column in both 2015 and 2016. So first and foremost, we were counting many more nematodes on the creeping bent grass course than the Bermuda grass course, as indicated by the scaling of the y-axis from 0 to 180 nematodes. I'll elaborate more on this in the next slide. These are counts from a bent grass course out of Raleigh, North Carolina. The trend here is similar to that of Bermuda grass, with a high percentage of the nematodes in the top 10 centimeters of the soil column during the winter and early spring months. But during the late spring and summer months of 2015, a majority of the nematodes shifted to actually being in the middle 10 centimeters of the soil column compared to the top and bottom 10 centimeters. In the summer of 2016, nematodes were more evenly distributed throughout the entire 30-centimeter soil column. The main takeaway here is that during the summer months, a high percentage of the nematodes are actually found below the turf grass rooting zone. Here, this slide will show you a quick comparison between the two turf grass species. The bars are going to be stacked like a soil column, and I'll start with Bermuda grass. Here's the bottom 10 centimeters of the soil column, followed by the middle 10 centimeters, and finally the top 10 centimeters. As was hypothesized, the highest aggregate counts in Bermuda grass were in the summer months. Next, I will add the 20 plus centimeter section from the creeping bent grass course. Notice how their numbers match up with the entire soil column of the Bermuda grass course. Next, the 10 to 20 centimeter section. And finally, I'll top it off with the 0 to 10 centimeter section. As is shown, we were counting a significantly higher number of nematodes throughout both years in creeping bent grass and Bermuda grass. Now, to tie this to nematicide application, it would be advised to apply nematicides earlier in the year, in March and April, on bent grass, before numbers start to increase in May and June. However, in Bermuda grass, applications are actually advised to be a little bit later, in late April and May, before numbers start to increase in June. Here we see the importance of proper nematicide timing. Proper spring application of nematicides is important and can have great results all the way through into September when these images were actually taken. As is in the case here, you see that the April treatment was much better at controlling nematode populations than the late May treatment. So finally, I'll get to the corn that I mentioned earlier. We wanted to present a crop system that more people would be familiar with, an annual corn system versus a perennial turf grass system. Here are the various nematode counts from various steps in the corn system. And the trend is similar to that of the turf system, with the lower counts being in the winter and spring months and a little bit higher counts in the summer. What was unexpected, particularly in December of 2015 and January and February of 2016, that the counts were unexpectedly high for what has essentially been a weedy, fallow system several months after the corn has been harvested in October. So in conclusion, sting nematode was observed deeper in the soil column than previously anticipated. This can play a critical role when applying nematicides, as it is possible that a majority of the nematodes are beyond the reach of conventional nematicides, depending on the time of year of application. Optimal timing of chemical control application may differ with host, with earlier applications necessary in creep and bent grass than Bermuda grass. And finally, host plays an important role in nematode population density, with a much higher population found on creep and bent grass courses than Bermuda grass courses. With that, here's a list of people I'd like to thank for helping with the projects and with sampling in some truly awful weather sometimes. And I'd be happy to take any questions you may have. Thank you. The question was the fraction of the nematodes beyond the root zone, are they pathogenic? Yes, we believe that nematodes have the ability to ride through the water column as it moves up and down. And so yes, I believe that these nematodes can sit down there, and if conditions are right and weather, temperature, everything is right, they can move up and become pathogenic immediately. Yep. Yes? So we weren't using any nematicides in this trial. All the greens were managed by the courses. If any of them were using any sort of a nematicide, they'd be using avermectin frequently in the spring. But we wanted to get accurate counts of what a golf course would be dealing with or without the use of nematicides. Yes?
So when you were counting sting nematodes,
the question was, was I counting other species? And to answer that, I was not counting other species. We are sampling one other course in Greensboro for root knot nematode. The other courses aren't inflicted with root knot nematode. And so we haven't seen that the numbers have been changing, are changing based upon the number of nematodes. However, previous studies in other areas have shown that when there is a majority of one nematode, there tends to be a minority of the other nematodes. And there's really only one that is the predominant one in the area. Does that answer your question? Okay. Yes?
In your study, were you able to make any correlation between the population of the sting nematode and the appearance of turf damage?
So the question was, have I made any correlation between the population and the turf quality? So I haven't made any direct correlations, but an observation, when we see the numbers highest in the summer, we tend to see the turf struggle the most at that time, particularly in the creek and bent grass course. So usually the higher the population, at that time we do start to see turf decline.
But you are associating the applications in April, right?
So those applications were actually from a pesticide study that I was doing, and so yes.
So you want to know what the populations are in April?
So we were taking counts, so for the pesticide study, we were taking counts in April, in the middle of the study, and at the end. And so in the beginning of the year, the grass actually looked pretty healthy, and the numbers were very low. And from looking at the numbers we took, which would have been September when those pictures were taken, the numbers were quite high when we started to see the number that damage. And if I remember correctly, the nematicide-treated areas did have lower counts than those that were untreated.
All right, thank you.